Right, we're going to have another Bible reading. And I'll get it right this time. This one is Psalm 89, verses 1 to 4. And this tells of God's love, that his love is there forever, that God is there forever. He's always with us. As I said earlier, we don't always feel it, we don't always know it. But he is always there. And we must try to remember, even in our darkest times, that we can turn to him. And just say, Lord, I don't know what to pray. I don't even want to pray. But Lord, please teach me how. Please show me how. Please help me to do it. I will sing of the Lord, great love forever. And my mouth I will make faithfulness known throughout all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your line forever, and I will make your throne firm through all generations. That servant that came through David is our Saviour Jesus. As Helen said last week, with the line, family tree that came through. David was a way back relation to Joseph. So the genealogy line comes through, and that promise was fulfilled in Psalm 89. And we're going to sing, give thanks to the Lord, which is also known as forever.
Right, can you hear me? You hear me, Marika? Can you hear me? Okay, good. Now, make no excuses, I've got two reasonably long readings this morning, and I'm sure God's word from the Bible is far better than I can ever say. So we're going to start with two proper readings. The first one is from 1 Samuel 3, where the Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God, not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord has not been yet revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The second reading is from Isaiah chapter 6. And this is Isaiah's calling. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." You have to forgive me because it's a new Bible and the pages tend to stick together, which they have. There we go. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.' He said, 'Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they may see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed.'" I'm going to pinch Rose's water. Is that all right? Oh, thank you. Now, there's a little title. Does God speak to us today? In days of old, God spoke to many people directly. He spoke to Adam. He used to walk with Adam in the garden. He spoke to Noah and warned him about the flood and to build an ark. He spoke to Abraham about being a father and about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He also spoke to Abraham about sacrificing his son Isaac. As we've just heard, he called to Samuel, calling him to ministry. He came to many in dreams and visions, like Jacob. He came to Isaiah through a vision and spoke to him, and God called him. God spoke to his prophets. We don't actually know how he spoke to his prophets, but we've got a whole Old Testament full of sayings what God has spoken. God's warnings were passed on. The prophecies of Jesus to come. And the prophets like Isaiah really spoke out loud of what was going to happen in the future. Most of the prophecies have been fulfilled. But again, we have still to take, some still have to take place. Daniel, the prophet Daniel, and the book of Revelations tell us about the end of the world as we know it and the second coming of Jesus. God also spoke by word of mouth to the people at the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus stepped into the waters of the Jordan, God said, "This is my son, who I am well pleased." He actually spoke out loud and people actually heard that. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, God spoke to him very clearly, didn't he? And the people around kind of heard it but didn't understand it. God actually spoke to Paul very clearly. But how does God speak to us today? Well, he does speak through several things. Firstly, through the Bible. We just heard how God speaks to his people. But God speaks the whole of the Bible. I've shared with you before, so I don't make any excuses. There's a special part of Timothy 3:16 where Timothy says all scripture is Paul says to Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. So the word of God is God speaking to us today. But we've got to go back a little bit, haven't we? The early books of the Bible, apart from telling us about God's people, the Jewish nation, gave us some very practical instructions. The Bible's a very good practical book. When you have time, read the book of Proverbs. You see the different things that Solomon was actually telling. We don't know if he was talking to one of his sons or what, but he was talking to a young man, wasn't he? And he was telling him all the different things perhaps he should be careful of and to do. Just one little instance from Proverbs 25:16-17. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it and you will vomit. Another one. Seldom set foot in your neighbour's house. Too much of you and they will hate you. I think that's good. Isn't it so true today that God is speaking that sort of thing through Proverbs to teach us a little bit about practical living? If we eat too much, we're going to make ourselves ill. If we put ourselves upon people too much, they're not going to like us anymore. Leviticus and Deuteronomy, what do they tell us? Well, God was actually giving instructions to the people of Israel how to worship, how to live. And so much of these words are so relevant today. Through the words of Jesus passed on to us through the Gospels. That's God's word, isn't it? Jesus was speaking to the people at that time, but at the same time he was speaking to us. Every one of us, each one of us, Jesus was speaking to us, telling us about God the Father and how we could have new life. Jesus changed everything. The second part of the Bible is the new part, isn't it? We are going to be new. Now the Holy Spirit still speaks to us today. That small, still voice. Sometimes, I think perhaps we've all heard, we're standing or sitting somewhere and all of a sudden we feel, I ought to go and see my neighbour next door or somebody down the street. It's really clear in my mind, I must go for some reason. And then when we get there, we find they're not very well. Or they haven't been able to get out and get some food in. That's God speaking to us. Have you ever had a quiet time and you've just been sitting there? And then all of a sudden, a Bible reading comes into your mind. Oh, right, Janice. Are you okay, love? A Bible reading comes into our minds. Where do you think it's come from? The Holy Spirit speaks to us, each and every one of us. Through sermons or evangelical meetings. Sometimes the words spoken are just for us. Have you been in a church where there's a sermon and you felt, oh, God has spoken to me at that sermon perhaps. Might not have spoken to anybody else, but he spoke to me. Or you. But in recent times, haven't things gone a little bit quiet? Marika was telling me she's reading about Trevor Deering. Now I knew Trevor Deering, because I used to have music ministry in their ministry. And that was in the 70s and the 80s. Mainly it's a church that really came alive in Hainaut. there's been other prophets that have come forward. Billy Graham, the missions he did before he became too ill to do any more. I mean, Rose has been part of that ministry, where he come over here and he speak to people, and people actually came to know Jesus through what he said. He has actually spoken to them. God's word today is speaking. But haven't you noticed in the last, say, 20 odd years, things have gone very quiet? Why do you think? There's no Billy Grahams out there at the moment, is there? Well, if they are, they're a little bit quiet. There's ministry going on in churches, but the big ministry of God actually shouting, if you like, through somebody like Billy Graham, has gone quiet. Why do you think? Churches in this country are emptying, aren't they? We know ourselves. Look at all the empty seats we've got in here. Perhaps 30 years ago, all those seats would have been filled. Where have the people gone? The moral decline is accelerating, isn't it? Looks like it's happening out in the streets. Other religions are growing rapidly. And now God is being put aside for other gods and religions. It's happening now in this country. Didn't that happen in the Old Testament? Didn't it happen in the Exodus? Moses went to speak to God, and all of a sudden they're worshipping another god, the golden calf. And I think the same thing is happening today. God's people who are speaking to us perhaps are a little bit quiet, and what's happening? Everybody is just drifting away and gone to find other gods. They're not staying faithful. What other gods have we got? Well, I think one of the worst ones are mobile phones. Don't you? iPads, televisions. Let's look at mobile phones. Now, several of you use the trains, I know. Now, if you sit down in a train, how many people have got a mobile phone in their hand? Now, several times I've looked, and there perhaps is 20 people, and 18 people have got their phones going like that. They can't put them down. They've become gods. It's so easily done. We're forgetting what we should be doing, who we should be worshipping. A mobile phone can be a very useful thing, but it can also be a terrible curse. We should all be ashamed. Something is really drastically wrong, isn't it? I hope you agree with me. But something is happening. Not in England, I'm afraid. God is using the foolish to shame the wise. It's a little saying I managed to pick up on the net. While Christianity is dying in the West, God is bringing a spiritual awakening in third world countries like India and China. Yes, Mary?
Yeah, I know.
Yes. Right. Let's take China. 40 years ago, there was 3 million Christians amongst, is it close on 2 billion people? And Christianity was banned. If you were caught meeting in a Christian meeting, you were imprisoned. Today, have a guess how many Christians there are. Have a guess. Somebody like to have a guess. How many Christians today in China? there is 130 million Christians in China. Why? Because people were faithful. As you know yourself, they were taking Bibles into China, and people were able to see and read God's word. And the authorities in China cannot do anything about it anymore. So people are not imprisoned anymore, and worship is allowed in China. Now in India, it's still, in certain parts of India, it's very difficult to be a Christian still. You can be literally killed for being a Christian in some parts of India today. But the other parts, people can worship openly. But it is difficult. Why is there a difference? Why are so many people in China coming to Jesus, so many people in India coming to Jesus, so many people in Africa coming to Jesus, and in England, so many people are just dropping away? What is wrong? Well, what I believe, Jesus warned us, Daniel warned us, the book of Revelations warned us. Are we in the last days? Is Satan really starting to rule? It looks like it. Otherwise, where are all the Christians? There's so few of us now. Are we ready for the return of Jesus? Now, the book of Revelations can say all these things have been happening. If you look at Revelation, they are happening now. Jesus could come back at any time. Are we ready? God has got a special place for us in his kingdom. When he comes back, where do we go? Don't all speak at once. Where do we go when Jesus comes back? Please, Linda. We do. He takes us with us to a new kingdom, a new place, doesn't he? So those who believe and trust in him are going to go with him. They would have heard God's word. So we should be ready today. Now I'm going to ask now that we do something slightly different. I said God is speaking to us today. Now, I was supposed to put a hymn in there, but first of all, I'd like us to have a little quiet time where we just sit, perhaps close our eyes, try and empty our minds of everything, and I'm going to have a song played, which we're going to sing afterwards, and hopefully you would have picked it up. It is absolutely beautiful, I think. And it's called Speak, O Lord. So while that is playing, that in our hearts, let the Lord speak to us. No, the song that's underneath that. My Felt that God has spoken to you this morning, please do something about it. He's told you to speak to your neighbour, to change your life, to come to him, or just to ask for prayer. Please do something about it. I think it'd be nice if we actually sung that song. I think it's an absolutely beautiful song. And while we sing, if anybody would like somebody to pray for them, please put your hand up, and I'm sure somebody here, the deacons, will come and pray with you. Thank you. Can we have the song up, please?